Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I guess we could all agree how polluted our world is, our life is. There's even political pollution, economic pollution, and all kinds of geological pollution, ecological pollution. But wait a second, there's hope. There is hope because there's a book called The Last Unpolluted Place on Earth. Ha ha! Where do we find that? Maybe that's the answer. So let's find out because we're going to talk to the author of The Last Unpolluted Place on Earth, Richard Boel. Richard, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you very much.
So we're trying to get away from all this pollution or solve it or fix it. We don't know what else to do for it. And you say that there's a place that is unpolluted. So that gives us hope. Where do we find this place?
Look, I think that this work originated when I worked with the United Nations in New York. And the focus, like you said in your introduction, the focus that people have is on pollution. And there's even mental images ready at hand. The most obvious one is plastic in the ocean. And it's obviously wrong. Everything in the instinct says this is wrong. The evidence of what it's causing in marine life is disturbing. And what happens in the human system is that the human system, when it sees something wrong, it wants to set it right. It wants to either attack it or eradicate it or remove it. And in the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals talking about pollution, I think the word on pollution is about eradicating pollution, which is a bellicose word. It's a word that suggests we're going to set about it. We're going to, you know, we're going to get it. We're going to do it. We're going to finish it off. We're going to erase it from the earth. The only problem with that kind of thinking is that it puts us in our old evolutionary systems to do with whether we call it fight and flight or reactivity. And so as we try to react to that pollution, the problem we face is that we're dealing with it from the wrong part of ourselves. And I call that the outer court of ourselves. We try to solve problems like eradicating pollution, erasing inequality, overcoming poverty and hunger. But even the language is putting us in that outer dualistic system. And this work is trying to show that it's that famous quote of Einstein, isn't it, that you can't solve problems at the same level that we were at when we created those problems. And this is what I believe he's talking about, is that we are using old systems and the level of those old systems to try to eradicate problems, and we're not having success. The SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, are only 6 months or less since they were declared, and the world has run down enormously, even in those 3 or 4 months. So even clearly we cannot continue to do this.
Right. Even these approaches, in a sense, are polluted with old thinking.
Exactly.
And that's what got us into trouble in the first place.
Exactly.
So to attack it, to be in the same war with it is not the answer. It's to find that unpolluted place, which is a higher way of thinking, seeing the bigger picture of our limitations in solving, in trying to solve these problems as mentally as we're trying to solve them, rather than from a greater wisdom, a more universal wisdom of a higher purpose of understanding the failures of the past in a big picture, to understand we can't be the same kinds of people anymore at all. But then how do you become a different kind of person?
Well, you see, now here's where it gets a little bit tricky, because if we say we can't be the same kind of people anymore, in a way we're saying the same kind of outer court thing that we want to...
Yeah, eradicate the old person.
Yeah. And it's a kind of conundrum or a cycle you can get into where you actually can't stop, or you feel like you can't stop making some judgment about what's wrong that one is going to set right. And I think that what you're leading me to is to try and say, I suppose you're saying, well, so if you can see this, if you can see that this is, as you say, that even how we try to solve pollution is polluting, what do we do? And here is the, you could say, the perception, which is a bit of a surprising one, is to stop thinking we can solve it as a first step, to just stop for a moment these endless kinds of conversations. And the UN, of course, is able to conduct these conversations across 193 nations. To stop it and to say, well, okay, we can't solve it at that level. Now, something begins to happen in the awareness, consciousness, they're two different things, of course, where we at least are telling our systems that we're not going to, again, as Einstein said, keep trying to do the same thing and expect a different result. Let's just stop for a moment. And in doing that, one begins to be in touch with a different, what I would call the middle court, a different kind of thinking, where we know that we don't know the answer. You could say that these 17 Sustainable Development Goals are all challenges that we face, where we all know that we don't know the answer. We don't know how to solve inequality. We don't know how to solve poverty. There are not enough resources to go around. The planet is growing in population to a level where the planet can't bear the load. So I'm not saying to be ignorant, but to know we don't know is to recognize the beginning access to what I call the middle court. Knowing you don't know is not new. I'm aware that right back as far as Socrates in Greece, this was one of his great wisdoms. Knowing that you don't know puts you in touch with another kind of knowledge. And it's certainly been a very important maxim for my own life, is that everything I've written and studied, I've done it by taking my systems into the unknown, not by reading books. I haven't really read books, I don't know for how long, but very rarely. I certainly don't get knowledge from books. I get it from being able to allow my systems to live on the edge of the unknown. So that's the beginning of the middle court. Any gathering, whether it's an intergovernmental conference or just a group of people talking, it becomes highly stimulated and energized by people not just saying that they know they don't know, but stopping putting old references on everything as if they know. Oh yes, this is from this religion, from that spiritual tradition, from this esoteric truth. No, it requires a great deal of discipline to actually allow the systems to start again on the edge of the unknown. And this is where, you know, before the program you and I were talking about moving into a different epoch, this is where many people I know, be they scientists or just general searches for truth, are aware that we're moving into a phase where the references of the old can't explain what's going on now. They have run their course in a way. So this is very interesting to me.
It is happening.
Because that's where my own journey began.
Yeah. Right. And you're in it. You're part of creating new paradigms to function in ways that people haven't seen before. And I think it's happening all over, and I've done other radio shows about evolution that show that there is new thinking, there is new awareness, but not at macro levels. They're more at micro levels that are the seeds to establish profound new understandings that we haven't had before. Because it has to happen at a larger level of understanding that the ways that we got into this aren't changed. You know, the reason why there's so much plastic in the ocean is because we're unconscious and we're destroying the planet in an unconscious way. So the idea is to become conscious.
Can I say something about that?
Sure, please.
Well, you know, in the inner court is really the core of our humanity. And, you know, when I think about those words, the middle court is about, there are three courts, the outer, the middle, and the inner court. In the middle court, I say that's the core of our humanity, is that a person who lives there would do certain fundamental things in their life. And they would say certain fundamental things. As an example, it can be said profoundly or in a generalism, but a person would recognize that each day they're granted the opportunity to do something in that day, and they're responsible for what they do that day. And that's really a person checking in with their middle court. The centering of that middle court is in choice and responsibility, that what I do this day is my responsibility, and what I do is my choice, and the consequences of it are for me to pay in the right and wrong sense of it. Now, when a person stops refreshing themselves in that middle court and just lives one day running on to the next without any mindfulness of living, they begin to pollute their middle court. They begin to pollute the gift of life. And I agree with you, you know, it's a kind of unconsciousness, isn't it, Peter? You know,
yeah.
Where you just let life go on, but you don't see that the consequences of that are that you're polluting your human opportunity. So before there was external pollution, there was internal pollution. And what we see on the outside came from a level of thinking on the inside.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is something that even if we cleared up all the pollution, when was it ever acceptable to even throw a bottle in the ocean or to just discard it on a street in New York? When was that ever? When did that ever become acceptable? But today, to hell with it. That's because we're looking at a human race that has drifted in a way from its evolutionary responsibility. And this is just the middle court, and this is where it begins. I want to see a world where things like pollution become untenable, cannot exist because of the level we occupy in ourselves. Just like
Right.
I would never want to see inequality.
Right, but there has to be a place that can hold that, and that's the inner court. But it's the outer courts are so busy being occupied by propaganda, by fear. The society is promoting its own dysfunction.
You're so right.
And so, you know, when consensus is asked, you know, when people are questioned how they feel about different things, and they say, oh, this is how people feel about different things. No, this is how people have been conditioned by propaganda to feel about different things. We don't know how they really would feel if they weren't mind managed by the media. And so so the minds are very polluted and become insensitive to these greater needs that the planet is suffering from. And so what you're talking about with the last unpolluted place on Earth is that higher knowing, that place that's the inner court that doesn't get polluted but doesn't always get reached. And what we want to do is to inspire people to get to that inner court and understand how they are preoccupied in the outer courts with misinformation and confusion and fear and propaganda, that they don't know that there's an inner court to go to, and inspire them to think differently.
Well, look, I mean, I've just begun coming to New York and teaching people this work. And one of the really difficult decisions I had to make in my life was that, you see, when you teach people, you can end up becoming polluted by the process if you think you're trying to change people. So I don't think I'm trying to change people. I'm trying to occupy that level in myself. And I believe, and the evidence supports it, that when even one more conscious person is in a place, others can tune into that in themselves. So I'm not trying to sort out what's wrong with the human race. I settled a long time ago that was not my task and was not genuinely, authentically my destiny to do. What I see that I do is that I have tried to occupy the whole of what it means to be human, and it seems to facilitate and support others making that attempt. We were talking again about this before the program, weren't we? That maybe if there's 5% people who are reaching that level, that has the beginning of a movement or a global shift that we're all aware has to happen if anything is to change. So I see myself almost like a person about to and beginning to wander around America with these processes. And already I've seen just such extraordinary responses from people. So I'm not planning to start a school or an academy. I'm just trying to live my life in a way that may allow others to have access to the whole of who they are. That's very important for me.
Right. I think what it is that we can't grasp the big picture in any resolvable way, because it's beyond our knowledge at this point how to tackle such huge problems on the planet in new ways. We don't know those new ways yet. But we can all be ready and open and aware that change is happening in this openness. And as I said earlier, I do think that there are a lot of kernels, a lot of seeds out there on the micro level of change that might grow into a new forest, and that new forest might replenish the earth in ways that it needs. But It has to come from that kind of newness.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to medical school and I lasted, I think, 2 weeks. And I can remember distinctly, I was sitting there, confronted by the most enormous amount of knowledge and information to process. And at some point I thought, if I do this, I am never going to have access to my inner, I didn't call it court at that time, my inner world. And I just quietly got up and left. Now, of course, I have huge respect for a doctor who becomes a doctor and undertakes that discipline. But for me, I was aware vaguely then and very clearly now that I had a different journey to make and that being unattached and open in a quite specific way has allowed me to work for a different employer. So where I am is I do know at least by 51% what my destiny is in not trying to sort out the world. I'm not trying to do that, but to try to replay a new principle, a new level through myself that might allow others to find it in themselves. So I've lived a life, like, as you know, I'm right now on a Greek island, and I spent the last 5 years quietly sitting there while all of my life and the bits of my life came together into a coherent form. So I have committed to a certain lifestyle that's allowed me to listen to all of this, which is no less rigorous than becoming a doctor. It is as rigorous, very demanding, but hopefully I can be of service. Certainly when I come and move to America shortly, I can be of service in America because not many people have had that opportunity of living that kind of life.
Right, but a lot of people understand that they're unique. I think a lot of my audience for the shows I do listen because they are unique thinkers, and they like my approach, which is trying to understand the deepest levels of what my guests are up to. And so we're all people who are seekers of higher truth, higher being. I'm sure most of the audience feels like they're very different in the world than most people.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be different. But if you understand that there's a greater purpose to it, and you certainly represent that you now are becoming a role model of a surrender to soul and to soul path, then it's very helpful to others to see and to understand where it might take us.
I think of it as a bit like this radio station, because I didn't know it existed because I'm new in America. But I think everyone makes a bit of a lonely journey because you do feel like you're different. But then you finally arrive in a room or you get to a radio station or something where you realize that you're meeting other people who've been on an equally eccentric, lonely journey, and then you don't feel alone. But but feeling alone has its own merit and virtue, because when you're alone, you know in a very singular way that only you decide things, only you are responsible. And I think as much as the social world is kind of banded about and encouraged, I think most people feel lonely, but they shouldn't feel afraid of that, because the other side of it is a sense of belonging, that was a phase that every human goes through. So I think we are a network today of strong people because we've undertaken that journey.
Right, and that's why I have
a
radio show.
But it's better to do it with others.
Yes, exactly. That's why I have a radio show that attracts people to unique thinking.
Yeah.
And so
that's
people don't feel as alone in their special ways of understanding things. And so you're going to be in New York.
That's such a great service.
Yeah, I love it. This is part of my soul contribution. So you're going to be in New York soon. Do you have any stomping grounds that people can connect with you?
Well, I am going to do a tour of... The last time I was there, I did a tour at the Met in the Egyptian galleries. Next time on the... I think it's the 13th of April. But all the details are on the website humanevolutionarychange.org. I'm going to do an exploration of the Statue of Liberty. And if I can just say why, otherwise it might sound a very strange tourist thing to do. I believe in New York that there are so many latent codings about the future waiting to be activated. And I think the Statue of Liberty and what true freedom means is embodied in that statue. If a person takes the trouble to see what's the higher representation that it is. And these little tours around New York have proven to be absolutely fascinating for people because they turn on new systems of energy in the human. It's not it's not about the history of it. It's about what that represents for the future of America.
Right, good. But right now we're running out of time, and the book is The Last Unpolluted Place on Earth
is inside ourselves.
Right. And your name is Richard Bowell, B-O-W-E-L-L. And they can go online and find the book?
They can go to the website humanevolutionarychange.org or just plop my name in. I've written lots of books in lots of different nationalities. But this one is where I am today. And go online, look at that website, and they can see the events in New York. Or just log in and we'll send them the magazine. We run a magazine as well about events.
HumanEvolutionaryChange.org. Richard Bowell, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's such a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, and you too. You do such a great job bringing people together, so thank you too.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.